Living with people is really hard because people can be really annoying. You know what's harder though? Living a life that's isolated and lonely. And today there's a pandemic of loneliness that is devastating to our physical health and to our spiritual health. We're gonna dive into that pandemic and what to do about it for your sake and for the sake of others and what all that has to do with the Trinity. Before we get into how to fix the pandemic of loneliness and live a communal, enriching life. Guys, I want to talk about first the big picture. And I'm talking the really big picture from like the 35,000 foot, or actually more even higher, the heavenly point of view. See, the fact that we're called to live communally, it's not just rooted in who we are from an evolutionary standpoint, but who God is. See, one of the great mysteries of the faith is that God has revealed to us that He is a Trinity of persons. And that's what Catholics celebrate in every Trinity Sunday. It's what we celebrate and what we commemorate every time we begin prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the Trinity? I'm going to show you the Trinity with my hands really fast. Watch carefully. Watch very closely. You're going to miss it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. One God, three persons. Whoa. This guy speaks, writes books, and does magic. This is absolutely amazing. Now, trying to grasp the Trinity is like trying to bite a wall, okay? I can't fit a wall into my head. Doesn't mean the wall's not there. It's there. It's just bigger than my mouth's ability to fit it in, okay? The Trinity is real. It's not irrational. It's super-rational. It's bigger than my capacity to comprehend it. Now, we can know that there is a God just by thinking about it. But His inner nature, that He is not three gods, but one God in three persons, the only way to know that is because He revealed it. And I'm going to stop there because I think if you talk about the Trinity for more than a minute, you end up falling into one of 15 heresies. So, we believe in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And one great way to sum this up is that God is a communion of persons. Our one God's a communion of persons. I was putting my little girl to sleep. I'll never forget this conversation we had. And she said, Dad, why does the devil hate us? I said, I don't know. I guess it's because the devil hates God and you look like him. And her jaw dropped. She said, I look like God? And as she said that, I realized these words I take for granted that I've said for years, like you're made in the image and likeness of God. Like, whoa, it's really true. You stand apart from all creation in so many ways that we could talk about for an hour. But let me just sum this one way up, that God is communal and made you in His image and likeness, which means that living communally, living with other people, it's not optional for human beings. It's essential for us to become, to be, to activate and actualize who and what we are. Yes, I'm even talking to you, you introverts, who, admit it, you loved COVID, didn't you? For a brief time, introverts ruled the world. But no matter how introverted you are, we all need each other. And a pandemic that no one seemed to be talking about, and it's spreading, and no one's talking about it still, is the pandemic of loneliness. Guys, you need interaction with other people for your physical health. It's healthier for you to have high cholesterol than to be lonely. So smoke cigarettes, eat bacon burgers, just do it with friends. Yes, I'm kidding. But guys, we overlook this pandemic and it's growing and growing under our noses and it's literally physically killing us, not just making us miserable. 30% of adults feel lonely once a week. 10% of adults feel lonely every single day. And the numbers are worse among young people who, ironically, spend their lives connected through their phones. Today, 30% of 18 to 30-year-olds said they felt lonely every single day of their lives. 30%. Guys, when I went off to college, if you were bored in your dorm room, you would go out into the quad and just sit there and look around. And that didn't look weird. Today, if you sit around and just look for somebody to pass by, people presume you're a creeper. But today, in colleges, just to be, quote, normal, kids are disappearing into their dorm room on their phone and playing video games all day, and they're so stinking lonely. And not surprisingly, men are the loneliest of all. 30 years ago, most men, but not by a big margin, 55% said they had at least six close friends. Today, that number's been cut in half. And 15% of men reported having no close friendships at all. That's a five-fold increase since 1990. In 1990, 45% of young men said they would call a friend if they had some personal problem they were facing and needed to work through it. Today, that number's plummeted to 22%. Guys, check this out. That means that 78% of men have no one to talk about when they're struggling with something. You know, maybe that has something to do with the other depressing stat that men are 4 times more likely to take their own lives than women. Wow. Man, it's amazing how we're suffering so unnecessarily when we're all living in this world together alone, and so many people are literally dying for friends. So the solution is simple, right? Make friends. Okay, so since it's simple, why don't we just do it? I'll tell you the answer to that question, because simple does not equal easy. That's why. And as I said when I started this video, people are annoying. And living in close contact with other people, it's really complicated. Life's just way more clean when you're not bumping into other human beings. My Uncle Paul was walking through New York City once, and a guy was jogging and ran past him and bumped into him, and he reached into his pocket and his wallet was gone. Now, my Uncle Paul's not a really big guy, but he got really angry, and he saw the guy, and he ran up to him, and he said, "Give me the wallet." The guy looked really shaken. He gave him the wallet. He calls home, "Marjorie, you'll never believe what just happened to me." She goes, "Paul, your wallet is on the kitchen table." It's actually a true story. Of course, he sent the wallet back with a sorry letter with no return address. But guys, when we live close to each other and we bump into each other, we hurt each other, and often with the best of intentions. We don't even know that we're doing it. Here's the thing, guys. Your brain evolved to pick options to fill you that require the expense of the least calories. So you consume more calories, spend less, and you survive. We live in a world where when it comes to friendship and connectivity with other people, our brains have evolved to look for the lowest hanging fruit, the easiest way to just fill that need that we have for community, for interaction with others. So we reach for the lowest hanging fruit that consumes the less calories, requires the least possible effort. You know what that is? You pick up your smartphone, you feel lonely, you start scrolling, you feel a little bit connected. But guys, it's junk food. It's not enough. It's not the communal living that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the real, actual community that God's created us for, and we're becoming less human, less happy as a result, and less healthy as a result. Again, it's killing us. But you know what else, guys? We're becoming less holy as a result. See, holiness, salvation, isn't just about your connection directly with God, despite other people. No, it's precisely with other people. I love the image of the sequoia tree. Sequoias are the biggest trees in the world. They can be 300 feet tall. Their bark, 3 feet thick. Dude, think about that. That's some thick bark. That's how they can live to be thousands of years old, because when bark is 3 feet thick, forest fire after forest fire over the centuries, over the millennia, can't burn through 3 feet of bark. You know how deep the roots are? Only 5 feet deep. That's right. They hit the ground and they instantly go sideways, and they're interlocked with every other tree in the forest. That is how they stand tall. Guys, that's you. That's me. The only way for us to grow into our full stature as children of God is in connection with other people. Guys, God didn't just have us get together at church, and the Catholic Church doesn't mandate coming together at church in visible church structures on Sunday for Mass just so that Father can give us all the sacraments in one place because it's more convenient. No. We get together, yes, to worship God publicly and to receive the sacraments together, but also because the church part, the communal part, is essential in us getting to heaven. And there's two elements to that. In the early church, they gathered for temple worship and they gathered in people's homes. And for some reason, as Catholics, we've stayed good at temple worship, but maybe 1,000 years ago, I don't know when it was, we started to stink at one half of the equation, gathering in homes for actual life-sharing fellowship, the kind of fellowship that can actually end the loneliness pandemic. So, here's the simple solution to a really complex problem. Two words, small groups. Look, I know that when I said the words small groups, some of you were thinking, but Chris, when we die, good people go to heaven and bad people are split into small groups. No, I'm going to de-churchify this for you to make it a little less scary for you. A small group can be really simple, and I have friends who are in AA. They say to have an AA meeting, all you need is a friend who's dealing with the same problem as you and a pot of coffee. Boom, there you have it. To have a small group, here's all you have to do. You get together intentionally with some friends, once a month to have an intentional spiritual meeting over bacon and eggs and coffee. That's it. I have three guys I get together with once a month over bacon and eggs. I have another group of three guys, and I have some married couples that we get together with. Look, I'm doing three different small groups. I'm only gonna challenge you to do one, all right? We're gonna lower the bar, make this simple, but still no less life-changing. Then you ask the powerful friendship-forming question in an intentional way. Write this down, it's a formula, ready? How are you? Seems stupidly, ridiculously obvious, doesn't it? Though I know I'm gonna call you guys on something right now. Men, my brothers. Dude, you can go fishing with a friend for an entire weekend, come home, your wife says, how's he doing? Your response is, how am I supposed to know? You gotta ask the question, how are you? And if you wanna go next level, a beautiful way to pose this question is, what's God doing in your life? What's the Lord doing in your life? And when we pose it that way, it keeps me attentive to how I'm growing in my faith, what I'm struggling with on a gut level, how God's calling me to lean into His grace. And as I'm attentive to that, guess what? I get attentive to following God more intentionally. But I'm so honest with the guys I share with, and they're so honest with me, that we know the sins that we're all struggling with, the temptations that we face. See, we're connected beneath the dirt, beneath the roots, and that is the only way to grow. And if you don't have that kind of honesty and connection with other people, I don't care how strong you look, I don't care if you have Bishop in front of your name. A couple storms, just like a mighty sequoia, with no connections to other trees, you are going to fall down. So how are you, or what's God doing in your life? Second, study some kind of resource if you have the time. Now listen, most groups that meet in churches just cut to this part. We have a, quote, Bible study. I think that's good. But when you pass up the whole checking in and how are you doing part, that's an academic group that's not actual fellowship. You can't skip the communal part and getting to know each other and really listening to each other and being honest with each other and knowing the hearts of the people at the table around you. But here you go. If you have the time, and we usually don't in our group, study some resource. And by the way, we're going to put a link to a resource below this video for you as your excuse to get together with other guys. Make it simple for you. We got you covered. It's our Living Joy program. We have 21 videos, 11 different small groups of different questions. So you can call a friend and say, look, I'd like to touch base once a month. We could do these videos on our own, but there's reflection questions to go through, and we could check in on how we're doing, talk about that, and just grow in joy together. There, I just made this simple for you guys. So, how are you? Study some resource if you have time to get to it, and then, how can I pray for you? Guys, rinse and repeat once a month. It is absolutely life-changing. Guess what else? It's absolutely church-changing. And my Catholic friends, if you're jealous of the non-denominational church down the street from you that might be outgrowing your Catholic church, let me tell you their secret sauce. It's not the drum kit. It's the fellowship. I'm friends with people in Saddleback Church in Southern California. They grew from 6,000 to 9,000 small groups during COVID. During COVID. This didn't come from the, quote, pulpit. This came from people inviting other people to connect in person, online. However, let's connect and care about each other. Check in with each other, hold each other up, get to know each other's lives and struggles, pray for one another. And that becomes the front porch back into the church. The front porch into Christianity for someone who's maybe not exposed to all this stuff. It's not your local liturgy. The Mass wasn't ever made to be the front porch. Did you know in the early church, people didn't even know what the Eucharist was until after they were baptized? And they come out of the baptismal water on Easter Vigil, and they were told, hey, there's actually more. But we treat this like it's everything. No, the front porch back to Christianity, if you meet someone who's interested in faith, is saying, hey, yeah, there's temple worship. There's also gathering in my home over a cup of coffee or with a couple bros and a beer, and we just share life and faith together and check in with each other and hold each other up. You want to come over? That's it, guys. We got you covered with your resource. You have no excuse to wait. Here's what you're gonna do. After you hit stop on this video, you're going to text a friend or two and just simply say, hey, can we be intentional about maybe checking in once a month together and just sharing life together and holding each other up and holding each other accountable and growing in faith? Because I need that in my life. Look, you're gonna feel awkward doing that. You are. You're going to feel as awkward as maybe when you were in sixth grade and asked a girl to come to a dance with you. But I guarantee you, the girl that you asked was dying for someone to ask her. And in this very lonely world, whoever you ask to do this with you is maybe literally dying for someone to ask them. Guys, all this is simple, but it's not easy. It requires us stepping outside of our comfort zones, stepping into the lives of other people and letting them step into our lives. In a world where we've forgotten how to have actual human interaction. In a world where we prefer the lowest hanging fruit and just delete comments and delete friends, quote, friends. Guys, all this is so simple, though it's not easy. Blessed Trinity, we adore you. Help us to not only adore you, but to be like you, and to live out what it means to be made in your image and likeness as communions of persons. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Love you guys. You know what to do. Now go do it.